Good morning, Kingwood.
Good morning.
As always, I am absolutely delighted and honored to be with you. The last time I preached here was 3 weeks ago, and it was your potluck Sunday, the Sunday before Easter. It was absolutely delightful. You folks are fabulous potluckers. And Martha and I both just thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed the day. You need to know that we love you, we care for you, and we pray for you and for your ministry. All right, fasten your seatbelts. We need to get rolling here. Several years ago, over 40 years ago, I was taking flying lessons, and I was with my instructor on a Friday night. We were in a little Cessna 172. My wife was in the back seat. My instructor was a friend of mine. His name was Watley. He was a professional pilot. We were taking off. We were living in Florida at the time. We were taking off from a little place called Cedar Key, a small island off the west coast of Florida. We take off, and as we're climbing out, been flying for a little bit, he starts chuckling, and he says, "Watch your instruments. Watch your instruments." Well, you know, it's night. We're taking off over water, so no lights. We had high cloud cover, so I had no visual horizon. He continues to chuckle. He said, "Watch your airspeed. Watch your airspeed. Watch your instruments. Push it down. Push it down." I felt like, push it down more, I felt like I was pushing us into a dive. But when I looked at the instruments, we were beginning to level out. You see, it felt one way, but I was confused. And what I needed to do, I needed to check the instruments because the instruments would tell me the truth. And my friends, sometimes as a believer, we walk into confusing times. Relational alienation. Grief. But no matter how difficult times are, God has some good news for us. Here we are, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. We're going to walk through the first 12 verses here. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, God's chosen, strangers in the world scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Those are Roman provinces. Let me put a map up here on the screen. If you'll look in the upper right section of that map, you'll see those areas. That's basically modern-day Turkey, which was a significant center of early Christianity. But Peter is writing, an inspired apostle, and this is Scripture. In other words, Scripture would be your instruments. When things get crazy and goofy and confusing, you can go back to the living and abiding Word of God that will teach you what to believe and what not to believe, and how to behave and how not to behave. So verse 2, "You've been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and the sprinkling by His blood." That's an Old Testament way of sealing a covenant. "Grace and peace be yours in abundance." He says, look, you've been chosen to be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's made possible through His grace. And in this relationship, you promise to obey the Lord, and the Lord promises to always be gracious and forgiving to you when your obedience is imperfect. That's why we need grace. Let me put a statement up here on the screen. Here it is. There are times when you may not look like it or feel like it, but you really are God's chosen people. You're chosen whether you feel like it or look like it or not. Peter says, look, I know you're experiencing hardship and persecution. Again, 16 times. He will remind them, sufferings come your way. Don't let it shock you. that this world is not your home. Don't let that shock you. But you are beloved by God. Even your capacity to believe, God has a hand in it. You've been chosen to choose. And you're His elect. You're His chosen. Hardship is not a signal that God has abandoned you. And if you begin to evaluate God's love and care by the circumstances, by the temporary circumstances of your world, you'll get confused. Trouble does not define you. Listen to what God says about you. Verse 3. So praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Notice, not just hope, a living hope. A living hope. The word hope occurs 71 times in the New Testament. 70 out of those 71, it's mentioned after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In other words, our hope is validated and verified by the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so you have this living hope, verse 4, and you have an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Now, inheritance, that's a wonderful thing. And there is a profound difference between inheritance and salary. Your salary depends on what you do. Your inheritance depends on whose you are. Salary is performance. Inheritance is relationship. Salary speaks of what you've accomplished. Inheritance speaks of what has been accomplished for you and passed down. And your inheritance is a gift because of the Father to whom you belong. And that word inheritance refers to all the wonders God has prepared for His people to enjoy, both now and forevermore. And this inheritance, it will never perish, spoil, or fade. You know, my friends, everything has a tendency to degenerate and fade away, but the things of God, the wonders of God, the inheritance of God, it will never tire, never age, never get boring. Markets crash, phones break, hard drives fail, bodies age, hairlines recede. But your inheritance is being held by God Himself. And if God's guarding it, it's not going anywhere. Verse 5, through faith you are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Let me put another statement up here on the screen. Absolutely nothing of eternal value is at risk for the followers of Christ. Let me say that one more time. Absolutely nothing of eternal value is at risk for followers of Christ. Nothing of eternal value. And the trouble that you encounter in this world, it will not last. So yes, your trouble is real. Turbulence is real. Hardship's real. And I'm not minimizing that. And it can hurt and it's frustrating. And we grieve and we shed tears. But it is temporary. And trouble does not last. But also in this world, listen, we have so many good gifts. Every good gift comes from God. They're like appetizers. Don't you like appetizers? I love appetizers. But I really like the entree. But this world, God gifts us with so many wonderful appetizers, and they are foretastes of our inheritance to come. But along with those appetizers, there is trouble. But it doesn't last. It has an expiration date. You see, my friends, your world and your life, you were not on a merry-go-round, just going round and round and round and round and round. You are on a journey to eternity. And the story of God has a destination. The story of God, the story of Jesus has a destination. And all of history is moving to the grand climax of the eternal kingdom of God, over which Jesus Christ will reign supreme, and you'll be a part in it. You're not on a merry-go-round. You're a part of a victory parade that's heading to a grand and glorious climax. Absolutely nothing of eternal value is at risk for followers of Christ. But right now, you can't see the whole picture. So you will have to live by faith. Let me put a third statement up here on the screen. The more challenging the season of life, the more real God becomes to a person of faith. The more challenging the season of life, the more real God becomes to a person of faith. You see, your struggles, your trouble, those times of confusion and difficulty and grief, they are not pointless. God can use them. And trouble can actually, listen, can actually serve you and help you. Verse 6. In this you greatly rejoiced. In what? The fact that I'm chosen by God, loved by God. I've been selected to be one of God's children. I'm a person of faith, and I have an inheritance kept by God Himself that will never perish, spoil, or fade. In light of all this, you greatly rejoice. Notice this phrase. Though now for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief. What's grief? Some sort of loss. Sometimes it feels catastrophic. Sometimes a little lighter, maybe somewhat ambiguous, where I've not completely lost something, but it's not the same either. And there's an adjustment. But you've had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Literally, the word is multicolored. Multicolored trials. Because you see, these trials come, they're all kinds. Because trouble rarely shows up in just one shade. Sometimes it's health. Sometimes it's relationships. Sometimes it's finances. Sometimes it's just we don't have an explanation. But may I remind you, we do not live by explanations. We live by God's promises. And everybody in this room has at one point been somewhere. And you wondered, why me? Why this? Why now? And how did I get here? I don't think I've told you this story before, but 15 years ago, a friend of mine and I were riding our motorcycles to South Carolina. And on the second day, we're riding every single mile of the Natchez Trace Parkway. Starts in Natchez, Mississippi, ends in Nashville. And so we'd started it on the second day, and terrible weather set in. We thought we could outmaneuver it. Couldn't. The Natchez Trace Parkway has rural. There are towns along the way, but you have to exit. And so it feels like you're in the middle of nowhere. And much of it is pretty remote, but it's a beautiful, beautiful ride. But on that particular Monday afternoon, and my buddy and I, we could communicate with each other via technology and our helmets. Our phones were blowing up with tornado warnings. The rain is pelting us. There are lightning strikes all around us. And we said, we got to find some shelter here. This is crazy. We come across a small dirt road. We pull off. There's a ditch. And my buddy suggests that we lie down in this ditch. And I asked for a reason. He said, well, he was in the Boy Scouts when he was a kid, and he earned a Boy Scout severe weather merit badge. And this is the best he could do. So we get out, and here we are in the middle of nowhere in the state of Mississippi. It's a beautiful state, beautiful area, but this is a bad, bad afternoon. We're lying down in this ditch, being pelted by rain and hail, lightning strikes around us, tornado warnings going off. I'm thinking two things. Number one, if I don't make it out of here, my wife is not going to be very happy with me. But here's the second thing I'm thinking. We are semi-smart guys. We really are. We're fairly responsible. I have a graduate degree. How did I get here in the middle of nowhere? I'm lying. How did I get here? Being rained on, I'm waterlogged, hail coming down, lightning strikes around me. How did this happen? And some of you have been there, not in a literal ditch, but in a situation, and you're saying, I've tried to keep my nose clean, honored the Lord, and I would have never dreamed how many times you said that, maybe in a positive way, but how many times too? One of those multicolored griefs, you say, I would have never dreamed I would have experienced this particular kind of ditch. But it can serve you. Look at verse 7. But these have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Think about how gold is refined. Peter goes through the metallurgical process here, where the goldsmith, the refiner, heats that gold, and then impurities rise, skims them off. Turn up the heat again, impurities rise, skims them off. Does it again, skims away the impurities. There are many ways that God can see you through a problem. Number one, he can just remove that problem. And sometimes he does, and we praise God when that happens. Number two, he can give you the strength to walk through that problem to the other side. Number three, he may just take you on to heaven, problem over. Number four, he can use that problem for a greater good and for a great good. And it might be in your character, growing you, or, my friends, it might be a situation where he also shines a spotlight on you in the midst of that trouble, and you become a walking billboard and advertisement because people watch you, see you, and they are inspired by that, and your perseverance and hope shines a spotlight on the grace and mercy and goodness of God. Peter says, look, don't ask me to explain it. I just know this. I know that your trouble doesn't define you. You're God's beloved. And I know that your trouble will not last. You have an eternal inheritance. And I know that your trouble can actually serve you and work to your benefit. And I want you to look at the results of a maturing faith in verses 8 and 9. And he says, Peter says, this is an amazing statement. Though you have not seen him, you love him. You know what that is, don't you? That's faith. Though you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. And you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. How would you define Christian joy? Here's the way one theologian defined it, and I think it's right on. You ready? Here it is. Christian joy is a defiant nevertheless. A defiant nevertheless. Whatever the world brings against you, nevertheless, the Lord is with me. Nevertheless, the Lord is my shepherd. Nevertheless, the Lord is good. Nevertheless, the Lord will work all things for the good of those who love him. It's a bring it on world. I will not be shocked by it. And nevertheless, the Lord reigns. He is for me. And I have an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade. And the more difficult that season of life, the more real the Lord becomes. Because, you know, sometimes when the artificial supports sort of get knocked away, you realize Jesus is enough. And the Lord really is my shepherd. And he really is a very present help in times of trouble. And then Peter says this: you are receiving the goal of your faith, which is what? What's the goal of our faith? Back up verse 9. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, which is what? The salvation of your souls. And now, as he closes, in talking about this salvation we have, he's going to say something about the prophets and the angels, and I want you to pay attention. He says, concerning this salvation, the prophets predicted it and were filled with anticipation. The prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you, they searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. And it was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. And even angels long to look into these things. People of faith, sometimes you hurt and you face hardship and trouble and confusion, but the goal of your faith is the salvation of your soul. And do you know how precious that is? What a gift that is. The prophets of old longed to look into it and fully understand it, but we have a greater understanding on this side of the empty tomb. And even angels, I love this wording, long to look into these things. It's the same word that's used in the Gospel of John when John and Peter were running to the empty tomb. You remember that? And they looked into, they peered into the empty tomb. Remember, John wanted you to know that he outran Peter? And then they get there to the empty tomb, and they look in, and they say, God's up to something. He's up to something wonderful. So in light of it all, here's the big picture. You are chosen, even when you may not feel like it. Your future is secure, even when life feels a little shaky. Your trials really are purposeful, even though they really do hurt. And your salvation is absolutely extraordinary, even on those days where you might take it a little for granted. Now, let me ask you something. What are you doing about this hope that does overcome the hurt? Have you stepped into it? You'll not drift into it, you step into it. It's made possible by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But then you step into it and embrace it through faith and repentance and being baptized into Christ. And you can know that this church is ready for you today. And if any of you in this church family, in this house today, your faith has grown a little dim, is today the day where you sort of hit that refresh button and you pray and you recommit? And the same grace that met you when you started is with you today as well, okay? My friends, let's be standing, and we're going to be singing a song. And if you'd like to take a step where you'd like to be baptized this morning, or you'd like to come and ask the church to pray for you, or to have one of the elders pray with you, this would be the time to do so. So let's be singing together, please.